If you are able, would you please rise with me to read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll pray, and we will be seated for the remainder of the service. Thus the heavens and the earth were created, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word is living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it has the ability to just pierce our hearts and speak truth, life into us. Lord, right now, we just don't need just empty words, but God, we need your words to speak to us, to give us life. In areas, Lord, where that we have death or suffering or burdens, God, I pray that your life will lift us up and remind us, God, of the life we have, the hope we have in Christ. And Lord, may we fix our eyes on you, even through the act of listening. May we receive from you. Holy Spirit, would you be with us in this time. Sanctify this space, this time, this moment. It is yours. Would you use me as your vessel? Cleanse me, God, so that I would just share only things about you, and that at the end of the day, only Jesus and your goodness will be remembered. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. So what is your favorite childhood candy? You can shout it out. Oh, thank you. Reese's, Kit Kats. Anyone, there's a lot of candy, by the way, at Costco these days because we're getting ready for Easter. By the way, if you haven't stuffed eggs yet with your CG, we still need lots and lots of donation. But my favorite candy is this. Any Skittles fans? Just Marshall Lynch? I know, that's kind of a Seattle Seahawks joke. But Skittles was actually my favorite candy. And I loved it because it had the colors of the rainbow. Who doesn't like rainbows when you're a kid? But the thing that I love most about Skittles is all the different flavors. But I had an unusual way to eat Skittles. I'm curious how you guys ate your Skittles. How did you eat it? Just all the... Well, I didn't do that. My husband said he did that. He thought I was weird. But the way I ate my Skittles is that I'll open the bag and I'll take a look at all the colors in there. And what I'll do is I'll start eating my Skittles based on my least favorite to my favorite. And my least favorite was the yellow. Ugh, lemon? No, thank you. And orange? Okay, that's a little bitter. And then I'll work my way to the reds. Cherry? Okay, that's better. Halfway, it's like Wednesday, right? And I get to green. It's like, okay, that's much better. But the goal of Skittles was to get to the purple. Anybody? Any purple fans? I love the purples. It just tastes so good. But the way I'd eat Skittles is I would eat all the bad stuff, and then I'll get to the best part, the purples, the last, and I'll savor it. There were times where it would get taken. My sister would take it from me. No, right? But this idea of just saving the best for last, waiting to delight, enjoy something, I think was a practice that I had ever since I was a young girl, that I felt like I had to work or I had to get through all the bad stuff to enjoy, truly, truly enjoy the purple, the good stuff. And if I'm being honest, I think many of us see Sabbath in a very similar light, that in some ways we feel like maybe Sabbath is like a day of rest or a day off for some of you. And we think, you know, in order for me to enjoy this day off with God, I need to get through all that I have to do this week. I need to finish my task so I can enjoy the Sabbath. And this is why I admit for myself, I'm still struggling with this, is that I struggle to really delight and enjoy, practice the Sabbath, and do it faithfully before God. Because lately, I don't know about you, there's just so much to do. Work is piling up, and you're like, oh, why is she talking about work? I don't want to think about Monday. Responsibilities adding up. Layoffs happening, and I'm sure there are some of you guys even in this room that's nervous about the week coming ahead. Job cuts, text messages, emails needing our attention. Maybe families, children needing my attention. That's me, by the way. Sabbath just seems like a luxury that I can't afford, like I shouldn't, or I couldn't take a break or really enjoy God unless I was done or I earned my way to get there. I did it. Whew, I can now enjoy my Sabbath. And that's a challenge, which takes me to my first point, is that Sabbath is really challenging. It's hard to do. And when we look at, but before we explore that, I want to look at the story of creation. In creation, Genesis 1, we read about everything that God has done in his creation, and there's this pattern and repetition. God creates something out of nothing. And then he looks at it, and he stops, pauses, right? And he says, that is good. And there was evening and morning the third day. Out of nothing, God creates something, and then he goes, stops, he pauses, he breathes, probably, and he goes, oh, that's good. And we see this repetition happening again and again in Scripture. Every day, the third day, the fourth day, and every time God does something, he pauses and stops and says, it's good. And by the time we get to the end of the creation story, end of chapter 1, we know that God has created all of the heavens and the earth. In fact, let's read what happens in Genesis 2. He says here, thus the heavens and the earth were created, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Here, there's repetition of God has finished. God has finished his work. He did everything he wanted to do, and that is why he rested. If you're following the previous sermons, especially last week's sermon, Pastor Eric gave a wonderful sermon about what it means to rest. And when God rested, it doesn't mean that he slept or he needed a nap. He doesn't ever need to sleep. But that word rest in Hebrew is where we get the word Sabbath, Shabbat. It actually means to stop, to cease, to just end. And that's what God did. He saw his creation. He saw heaven and earth and all that is in it being formed and have formed. And he was fully satisfied. He said, ah, I'm done. And after that, he just says, I want to rest. He takes that Shabbat rest. And here's the tension that I wrestle with. As I was reading this text with my kids yelling and crying and needing my attention, how do you Shabbat? How do you Sabbath when you are not satisfied with your work? Like when you feel like you've not done enough, how do you Shabbat? How do you really enter into that rest when you feel like you've fallen short of your quota? And I thought to myself as I looked at this passage, I said, God, of course you can rest. Of course you can Shabbat because you're perfect. You did everything you wanted to and you're done. But I don't feel done. I don't feel like when I end my day, it's like I'm done. I feel like, oh, how do I finish this next email? How do I get to this next task? Because I wasn't able to complete and fulfill all that I wanted to do. Lately, my kids have been getting sick a lot, and that's happening. Guys, watch out. There's a lot of germs out there. But it's really hard. Brutally honest, I've been taking days off work just to take them to the urgent care. By this time, they know who I am because they're like, oh, you're back. It's hard. There's interruptions that happen in my days. And if I'm being really honest, I feel like I'm falling short, like I'm not doing enough. Like, oh, I wanted to do this. And I look at what I'm doing or what I'm not doing, and I'm not like God where I could say, oof, that was good. Actually, it's the opposite. I say, oh, that's not very good. I should have done more. This is why it's hard to enter into the Shabbat. What does it mean? What does it mean to really enjoy God, to rest, to delight in him? Because for me, honestly, and I think for many of us in this world, it really isn't modeled very well. It's not modeled around us. For me, I shared this story in the past, but I grew up under immigrant parents who worked very hard. It wasn't even a 9-to-5. It was like a 10-to-10 job or earlier. It was 7 days a week. They would own a restaurant, and their day was just beyond exhausting. They worked every single day except for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day. And even on those days, they would invite people over to the house to celebrate. So it wasn't really a day off. And they were constantly in so much pain, like their back pain or their shoulder pain, and I had to massage them. That is the immigrant life, the story. But I literally saw their bodies breaking down, but they were not able to stop. And the common story is, we have to work hard to provide for you. We have to work hard so we can rest later. I need to save up so we can enjoy everything, our house, the things that you need. I work hard so you could do that. So that's embedded in my DNA. For me, at a young age, I was taught that I needed to work. I needed to earn my dues. I worked in the summer. I worked on the weekends. So I didn't really experience Shabbat growing up. And maybe that's the same for many of us in this room today, that we haven't really experienced what it looks like or who has modeled that. Well, it's not just my parents, but the culture around us constantly. Even right now, I'm sure your Apple Watch is beeping because you're getting emails and text messages telling you there is no time to rest. Hashtag Russell Wilson. I know there's a lot of, maybe I just miss my Seahawks. But you know what I'm saying is, it's that it's this culture that's like, in order to be successful, in order to be something, in order to be able to enjoy your life, you got to do your dues. Work while you are able. Work while you're healthy. While people want you, do it. You need to earn it. You know, lately with all the layoffs happening in the tech industry, even my husband's in tech and I know, I have friends in the tech industry, people are working long, long hours. Not enough employees and people are just doing more. That's the culture. When I talk to college students, in the past, I cruised in college. It was just like, I was an art major. I just scheduled my classes based on when I want to go in, when I want to go out. That's why I took very random classes. That was my college life. But when I talk to college students, man, you guys are amazing. You have internships. You're working so hard. And there's not a summer break where they're free. They're in class doing. Why? Because the world is constantly evolving, there's more competition. You have to get ahead. And maybe some of you guys are sitting in here like, oh, don't talk about school. Don't talk about graduating because there's this stress. And that's the world, the culture that we are living in. This world as we experience it is not suited for Shabbat. It is not suited for the rhythm that God has embedded in us from the very beginning of creation. But this is why we need to stop and Shabbat. This is why, because we're in an unhealthy rhythm and that's just not the way God created us. We have to go back. Okay, what is the rhythm? What is the way that we are created? Well, we need to go back to the beginning, which takes me to the second point. Shabbat, Sabbath, is not earned, but it is given. Let's stop and go back to the story of creation. I noticed something really interesting going in this passage of Genesis and God's creation. God creates heaven and earth and does everything in how many days? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's 6 on the 6th day. Sorry, that was the sunlight. I used to sing that song. I was like, what does God do on the very last day of his creation, on day 6? The very last act. He makes us. Let's take a look at that passage, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. And this is what God says. God says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. He creates humanity. This is what God does. The very last act of creation was humans, Adam and Eve. And he makes them very unique from any other creation in that Scripture says that God makes humanity, us, in his image, in his likeness, to be like him. And unlike any other day, days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the way God ends day 6, he ends it by saying something different. after he creates humanity and finishes everything, scripture says that God looked at what he made and he said, it is very good. Not just good, but very good, exceedingly good. Before humans have done anything, before they even started working, God looks at humanity and he says, you are so good, so good, because you're made like me. I made you. You resemble me. You resemble my goodness. You don't have to do anything. Just your existence alone resembles me. You're good. We belong to God. We're God's masterpiece. We're created to look like him, to be like him. That is why we're good, not because we can do stuff, but we're created good. That's God's nature, and he gave his goodness to us. Humans, us, we're actually created, by the way, not to do nothing, but we're created like us. And what does God do? He works. He creates. That's why some of us in this room is creative, right? There's creative ministry doing beautiful things like this. When I see this, I'm like, wow, this is God's goodness. And for us, the instructions, the job description that God gives to humans is this. He says, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. It means to actually take care, not abuse. So take care of the earth. Take all care of all of the creatures. Everything that I made, I want you to be in charge now. That was our job description. We have job descriptions, by the way. But get this. Before we begin our first task, before Adam and Eve start this job, guess what happens next after the sixth day? Do they get to work? No. God actually makes another day. Intentionally, and that is the seventh day. And he says, you know what? I'm going to make another day, and this day is going to be holy. It's going to be set apart, and it's going to be a day of rest for all of creation. I want you to think about that for a minute. Right after humans are made, we're given job descriptions, we're given all that we need from God, instead of God saying, okay, get to work, he says, hey, let's just hang out. Let's take a day off. Be with me. Hang out with me. Let's look at the sunrise. Let's look at the sunset. Let's just be with each other. Enjoy. Receive. Be loved by me. We didn't have to do anything. He wanted us to learn from him, receive from him, be filled from him first so that we can go out and do. It's not the other way around. And we mix that up. God gifts us the Sabbath so we can get through our week of labor, of hard work. He gives this to us as a gift so that we can make it through. It's not something we earn. Sabbath is a gift. I remember my first job after I graduated from college. I told you I kind of cruised. I got what I deserved. I didn't have a job for a while. I tutored for a while, and finally when I landed a job, probably because my dad knew somebody at the company, I worked for a company called Asiana. It was an airline company, and I was like, okay, cool. I love to travel. Fun. I'm just going to be great. It wasn't great. It was not fun. I was hired as a sales administrator, and if you know anything about me, I'm not good at sales or administration. So those two things put together, oh man, you can imagine. Every day was just torture. And I remember sitting with my boss, and they were going through, the HR, and they were telling me about my perks and benefits. And I was told, I was hired in March, but I was told that I would have no vacation that year. That's just how they do it. Maybe the Korean companies do it that way. But they're like, you're going to not have vacation this year, but next year, you can have 7 days off. I was like, ooh, okay. So for 9 months, I was like, okay, no days off except for the weekends and holidays. I made it through. And then I thought I would get free tickets to travel, but zero. In your first year, you get none. But the second year, they said you could get half a ticket to Korea. The one-way ticket actually costs more. So I was like, okay, wait a minute, I can't use this. But at the time, I took that job. You're like, why? It's because no one else was offering me a job. And I thought that was good. I was like, okay, I'll take it. They paid me so little. The only thing they did, though, they fed me really well. So I gained weight. But other than that, it was a hard job. Why? Because in the world, if you have no skill sets, if you have no abilities, and I didn't, you can't get vacation, all these perks. You have to work your way up. When you see people in the company who has X amount of PTO, it's because they've been there for a long time. And the world kind of sets this rhythm that we have to work and earn our way to deserve benefits, perks, rest, vacation. And yet when we look at the story of creation and what the passage is talking about, God is completely the opposite. He does everything. He creates everything. He provides everything. He's the one who works and he leads the way. And the very last of his doing was that he makes us in his image so that we don't have to do. We could just enjoy and be. That's good news. He says, I want to just take a day off with you, spend time with you, delight with you. That was what the Sabbath was. God never made us so that we could do stuff. We're not a robot. God made us to be in a relationship with us, to be with us. If he needed workers, he would have made us on day one and two and said, okay, get to work. We need to create the land and the seas. Get to work, start shoveling. That's not what he does. He says, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all. We were the very last act of his creation. And the very next day, he gives us the Sabbath. And this is why Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift for everybody. Whether you worked hard or not hard. Whether you deserve it or not deserve it. God says, you know what? This day is for everybody. And that is the gospel. From the very beginning of creation, God was demonstrating his grace to us, that he poured out his love and his life to us, and we could freely receive before we do. That is the gospel. John Mark Comer, the pastor who is actively practicing Sabbath, and he has a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a good book. It's out there, by the way, in the lobby if you want to take a look. But he says this, Sabbath comes at the end of a great week and at the end of a lousy one, when we finished all our to-do list and when we're woefully behind. In summer and in winter, when all is well and when our life is falling apart, Sabbath. Sabbath. He says we can enjoy it any day for everyone. It's a gift. Which takes me to my third point and last point. Sabbath. What is Sabbath? Is a day of delighting in God. What is this day about? I think when I think about the very first Sabbath day and why God created this day, it's interesting because this day was the first day that God made that was shared with humanity. And there's something in that. God intentionally sets apart this day, not just so he could just be on his own, right? The Trinity be all together. But he intentionally wanted us to be a part of that day. But he says this day in Genesis 2 and 3, verses 3, he says, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Here the word blessed in Hebrew is the word barak. It means actually happy or joyful or to praise. It's a word that's always linked to God. Blessing is always connected to God because all blessings come from God. Furthermore, he says this day is not only, he not only blessed it, but he said the Sabbath day is holy. What does holy mean? Holy is the word kadesh in Hebrew, and it actually means to be set apart, different from the rest, something that belongs to God. Holy is something, anything that God devotes to himself, something that belongs to him is holy. So let's bring it together. Sabbath day. The way that God intended Sabbath day to be was that it was supposed to be a day of joy, a special day, unlike the rest of any days. It was unique because this day we were supposed to savor it and enjoy God and his presence, to delight in him. I kind of think about it similar to how we might see birthdays. I mean, it's an analogy, but go with me here. What are birthdays, really? Recently, my son celebrated his fourth birthday. He turned four. And this day was a very special day in our family because this was a day where we celebrate his life, his birth, and we celebrate who he is. So March 9 is like ordinary Thursday for everyone. But for us, we counted down like, oh my goodness, Xander, your birthday is going to happen in 3 days, in 2 days. He says no. And when he woke up and I was like, happy birthday. He's like, yeah. And I made sure to send cupcakes with him. I sent balloons with him. I told people it was his birthday. I just told the world, hey, it's my son's birthday. People knew. Tell Xander I said happy birthday. I just delighted in my son. Do I love him more on this day? No. I love him the same. Some days it's a little harder, but no, my love for him is always. But on this day, I celebrate it. It's a special day apart from any other day because I get to be more mindful of him. I do things that are special to him. We eat special things he likes, and I spend time. My schedule's a little lighter. I make sure we get to hang out, spend time together, celebrating. It is a joyous day. Birthdays are good. Right? As you get older, it's a little less. But when you're a kid, it's like, oh, I can't wait for my birthday. But I think Sabbath is like that. When children experiencing their birthday, that's what it's supposed to be like. Full of joy, full of excitement, full of goodness. A day I feel so loved, right? Lavished. I asked Xander what he loved about his birthday, and this is what he said. He said, I love that all my friends got together and they just celebrate. I was like, yeah. That's really what Sabbath is about. It's a day of celebration with people you love, celebrating the goodness of God. Somehow, I think when we think of the word holy and how Sabbath is holy, we associate it with religion and doing spiritual things. Like, oh, we got to do Sabbath because Pastor Eric says we're going to do that, so I got to do that to lead. You know, we make it into work, like church. I got to go pray on the Sabbath. I got to read the Bible. I got to do spiritual things. I got to stop doing secular things on Justice Day. We need to do godly things. I was talking to a friend who grew up in the church, and he said his dad was a pastor, and he remembers his family did celebrate Sabbath, but the only memory he has of Sabbath was it was a day he was not allowed to spend money. And so he was like, oh, it sucked. Because all of my friends would get Slurpees, and I just couldn't. It was a day of restriction, a day of not having fun. It was a day he missed out on good things. And I think for some of us, when we make Sabbath a duty, something we have to do, it becomes that way. And that's not what Sabbath is about. In the New Testament, there was a story of Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and they were hungry. So they were walking, and the disciples started to notice there were all these grains. They started to pick the grains, and they ate it. And right there, as they were eating the grains on Sabbath, the Pharisees saw what they were doing, and they rebuked Jesus. Hey, Jesus, what are your disciples doing? They're breaking the law of the Sabbath. And here, Jesus comes back at them, and what does he say? He says, in Mark 2:27-28, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of that Sabbath. Get it? Sabbath day was not something we are supposed to do, and it's a gift, he says. It's not made for man, but man is made for Sabbath. And right after he says this, he goes straight into the synagogue. And guess what he does? All the religious people are watching him to see if he's going to break the Sabbath. And Jesus sees someone who's crippled. His arm is crippled. And he goes over there and he asks this question at the temple. I'm sure this person who was crippled was not even allowed to be inside the temple to worship. And probably Jesus went around outside the temple where this person was. And he asks the people gathered there. In Mark 3, verses 4 to 5, I'm going to read from the Message version because I like that transition. He says, then he spoke to the people, what kind of action suits the Sabbath best? Doing good or doing evil? Helping people or leaving them helpless? No one said a word. Then he looked. They looked them in the eye, one after another, angry now, furious at their hard-nosed religion. He said to man, hold out your hands, and he held it out, and it was good as new. On that day, Jesus was reinstituting the Sabbath. While all the religious people were probably going inside the temple, worshiping, praying, ignoring this crippled man, Jesus chose to worship God right there and right there. And what does he do? He heals. He gives this man a new life. He gives himself to him. And this man, who's done nothing and was just sitting there, receives Jesus' Sabbath. For the first time, he's restored in his life. Physically, but I also believe spiritually on that day, God heals him so that he can go out now and freely worship God. Jesus restores Sabbath that was lost by religion and says it's a day where we celebrate the goodness of God, and we are meant to point to God on this day. Dan Ellender says this, and I love this description of holiness. He says, the holy is not located in one designated and agreed upon space, such as church, a monastery, or stunning vista that captures a breathtaking view of the mountain range. The holy comes in the moment when we are captured by beauty, and the dance of delight swirls us beyond the moment to taste the expanse of eternity in, around, and before us. The holy usually comes in unexpected, utterly surprising moments where the gift of goodness opens our hearts to wonder and gratitude. Holiness is not something we find at a church or at a service. Yes, it could be there. But holiness is wherever we enter into and allow the Spirit of God to be present. Where God is, it's holy. It could be in your home. It could be in your workplaces. But when you dedicate a day, God, I'm going to let you in on this day. That's what he wanted for the Sabbath. And that's what Jesus was trying to do. Sabbath is not earned, friends. It is a gift. Today you have that gift to receive it. I'm going to end with this one story. You know, as I was wrestling through this Sabbath story, and it's hard. I'm just going to say Sabbath is really hard, and different seasons, you just have to figure it out what makes sense. Don't make it legalistic, but spend time with God. But it's hard for me these days. And I was praying to God, God, what does it really mean to Sabbath? What does your Sabbath look like? What did Adam and Eve's first day look like with you? I asked God that question, and the image that kind of popped in my head was when I gave birth to my son. You're like, oh, you're going to go there. When I gave birth to my oldest son, Xander, I was really scared for the labor part, and they call it labor for a reason. It was hard. The labor and delivery was really hard. I pushed for 3.5 hours, and my epidural had ran out. And so you're like, oh, I don't want to say. It was really hard. And you imagine that moment where you're like pushing and pushing, the baby comes. You think like, what's the first thought? You're like, I thought my heart would be like, oh my gosh, the baby. It wasn't. You know the first thought that rushed my head? Oh, thank God it's done. I'm done. I'm done. I don't have to push. I don't feel pain. I'm done. I'm done. And I just laid there and I was just breathing because I was so exhausted. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, it's done. I'm never going to do that again. I did it again. But I just rested. I was like, oh, I caught my breath. I stopped. That's Sabbath. Just resting and just not doing anything. And just, I breathe and I stopped there. But right after that happens, you can't rest forever. The doctor brings you the baby. They cut the umbilical cord. And this is what they do. You, for those maybe who had kids, you might remember, or you will go through this. They bring the baby and they just lay it on your chest. And they're naked. The baby is like, oh, he's covered in all this gunk. And they put it, and they call that skin to skin. The baby just rests there. And his heartbeat feels my heartbeat. I feel his skin. I touch him, and he touches me. He was inside, but the first time ever, we get to touch each other, to be there with each other, breathe together. Do you know why they do that? It's so we can bond. I'm like, how long? They're like, just do it. Every time you can, just do skin to skin. And here was my son just lying. After I did all the labor, he's just lying there. He cried and he stopped crying and he's just breathing. Naked, completely unashamed, completely not thinking about anything. I think God is saying that is the Sabbath. That's what Sabbath is like. We get to be like that baby just resting on his mama's breast, just enjoying being loved. Because that's how God sees us. Today, my friends, God says, you have a choice. You can enter into experiencing me. Remember the Skittles? I have a whole bag of Skittles here. Today, you can look at what you have for the week, but intentionally choose the purple one. And today, I'm only going to eat the purple one because it gives me joy. And that's a gift. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you that you are giving us a gift that we can never earn, a gift that we totally don't deserve, but we totally need, God. And that is to be with you, to rest in you, to walk with you, to be loved by you. And we thank you that you give us Sabbath, not on the end of our work week, but at the beginning. Today is the beginning of our week. Sunday is the beginning, God, and we get to begin it with you, to be filled by you, to be rested in you. Lord, I pray for those souls in here that are weary, tired, broken, maybe folks that feel like they have to earn and work towards something. God, in this moment, would you just allow them to rest in your presence? Remind them of your love. Remind them that they are enough. Remind them that you are so pleased that they are here and to be with you. God, I pray that you would just rain down your presence. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Fill our hearts. Fill our brokenness so that we can, like the crippled man, be restored to experience true rest and goodness, delight in you. We are broken, God. We need you. So come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. It is in your name we pray. Amen.